Joshua chapter number 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. In this very first verse, we see the path of disobedience. Israel is basking in the glow of victory after Jericho has been conquered. And God told them in chapter 6 and in verse 18, "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it." What he's saying is, do not touch any of the items from Jericho. They were items that were dedicated to devils and pagan rituals and practices. Make sure and touch none of the things of Jericho. I want it all destroyed, except in verse 19, "But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. These are the first fruits of the promised land, and they're holy to the Lord. Do not touch them." And after the victory, after Jericho was conquered, in the very first verse, we meet a man named Achan who has committed a trespass in that he has touched or has taken of the accursed thing. In other words, he has disobeyed God directly. I don't know if he thought, nobody will ever know. Maybe he thought, I'm not hurting anybody. I deserve this. I've been a good boy most of my life. These items will never be missed. For the sin of Achan, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the entire covenant people of Israel. You must understand that the church is also a covenant body. We are one body, the body of Jesus Christ. Let me illustrate. I put a pen in my white shirt in the pocket. The tip of that pen was still exposed. And when it touched the fabric, it caused the ink to begin to bleed into my shirt. To my amazement, when I looked at that shirt, there was a great big spot on my shirt. And you know what I did? I threw the whole shirt away because of one spot that was on that shirt. God said that his anger was kindled because one man in the nation was in sin. Number two, I want you to see the painful defeat. Verse 2. "And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few." Joshua does not know about the trespass of Achan. And so now having conquered Jericho, they see the next city, which is the city of Ai. He sends spies out. They come back and said, Ai is nowhere near as big as Jericho. We can handle this battle. Just send 2,000 or 3,000 men as their recommendation. And Joshua said, I'm not going with the low number. I'm going with the high number. Let's send 3,000. And they went out to battle against Ai. Verse 4. "So there went up thither of the men about 3,000, of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, and they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water." In other words, Israel went out to fight a smaller city or town than Jericho ever was, and 36 men were killed. You may say, 36 men, that's the wages of war. That's not that costly. That's 36 more than they lost at Jericho. At Jericho, they did not lose one, but now at Ai, they've lost 36 men, and they were chased all the way back. I want to say to you today that there was a painful defeat for the children of Israel because they made four great mistakes. What were they, preacher? Well, first of all, there was no prayer. I never read anywhere where Joshua or any of his leadership ever prayed or sought the will of God. You make decisions all the time, I'm for it or I'm against it, but you never pray and seek the will of God. You just jump ahead of God and you rush right on into things because it's what you want to do. You must learn to consult the Lord about everything. Number two, they made mistakes here because they had no presence of God. You see, they have always taken the Ark of the Covenant when they crossed the Jordan River, the Ark of the Covenant with them. When they fought at Jericho and walked around those walls, the Ark of the Covenant with them. The Ark of the Covenant always represents the presence of Almighty God. But this time they didn't take the Ark because they were saying, we don't need God. We're just going to leave God out. Thirdly, they got no power. These people once walked by faith, but now they have gone back to walking by sight. Preacher, they're not walking by sight. Let me ask you, did Joshua send the spies to view the land, the city? Did Joshua take their recommendation, the recommendation of a few spies, over the will of God, over walking by faith? Joshua should have known better, but they went out on their own and they were defeated. Their confidence and their trust has been misplaced. No power, no presence, and there is no prayer whatsoever. Fourthly, there is no peace. They thought they had a false sense of security. We defeated Jericho. This little town of Ai will be nothing. Friend, they didn't defeat Jericho. God did it for them. And they forgot all about what God had done, and they started trusting in their own peace. And now when they're defeated, they're running away from the enemy with 36 people killed. And the Bible says the heart of the people melted and became as water. In other words, they became fearful. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hey, the peace is gone because you've left God out of some things. And now you live a life of defeat. Thirdly, in verses 6 through 9, I want us to see the prayerful discovery. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventime, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. What is his reaction? It is to pray. He's praying now that they've been defeated. That's the way it works in your life. You know to go to God first, but you don't always do that. And then when you've been defeated, then you'll say, amen, we ought to pray. Then you'll decide it was a good thing to do. Let me tell you something. He's gone to God in prayer, and now he's before the ark of the Lord, which he left out of his life. The presence and the power and the prayer to the Lord he left out. Now he's called upon the face of God. He knows he's had to go to 36 homes and knock on the door and say, we regret to inform you that your husband or your dad or the man of your house, your son, has been killed in battle today because we were foolish. Because we decided to do what we want to do and leave God out of the equation. In verse number 7, Joshua continues his prayer, knowing he has lost the blessing of God. You sat here in this place today and you either know this church is blessed of God or you don't. You either know your family has the blessing of God or you don't. You either know your life has the touch of God, the blessing of God on your life, or you've lost it. You know that, not Joshua. You know that. For that you are accountable in verse 7. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" Not only does Joshua know that he's lost the blessing of God, he's starting to blame God for his problems. He's not saying, "Lord, it's because I didn't pray. It's because we didn't go in the name of the Lord. It's because we didn't have your presence or your power. It's because we went in our own peace, not in the peace that only God can give us." That's not what Joshua said. He said, "God, where was you? Where did you go? God, where? I'm living a life of defeat, Lord. Where are you at?" Joshua is blaming God. You ever done that? "I don't like this. God, where are you at to stop it? God, why did you allow it? I'm not real happy about this." Well, I want you to see in verse 10, as Joshua's praying, God begins to reveal the problem. The Lord said unto Joshua, "Get thee up." In other words, get up off your face. Now, isn't this something that a man would lay on his face before God and God says, "Get up. You're wasting your time down there blaming me. Get up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face?" He's going to say, "Israel hath sinned." What do you mean, preacher? They've sinned. He says, "Joshua, Israel went in their own power. They never prayed or sought my help. Joshua, you thought you could do it all on your own. So I just let you. And you've sinned and left me out. And furthermore, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Joshua, if you had prayed about this, I would have told you they're sitting in the camp. I would have revealed to you that my blessing is off this nation before you ever went to fight this enemy. But you never prayed. You went out on your own. So don't blame God. Blame yourself. Therefore, verse 12, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. He said, "You want to know why you were defeated and had to run away in fear? There's sin in the camp. Neither will I be with you anymore. God help. Except you destroy the accursed from among you." Joshua has lost the blessing of God. The people of Israel have lost the blessing of God. And God said, "I'll not bless you anymore until you get rid of the accursed thing." And I know Joshua's thinking, for the sin of not praying and the sin of going without your presence and going in their own peace, that's my fault and I know how to fix that. But this accursed thing in the camp, I don't know anything about it, Lord. I know you do. You're trying to show us, Lord, we're distanced from you right now. Help us to understand. So in verse 13, God begins his reckoning process. "Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households,
And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire. He and all that he hath. Because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. God says, tomorrow all of Israel will stand before me. Now Joshua don't know who it is, but God does. So beginning with the whole nation, God will separate the nation tribe by tribe. He will point out which tribe it is. Then he will go to the family, and then he will go to the individual household. And that is his plan. I want you to remember this. God will expose sin. And everybody's going to know what Achan has done. I want you to see, fourthly, in verses 16 through 19, the power of detection. I'm sure that Achan heard about this plan. He was sitting back there on the fourth row from, you know, from the center section across over y'all. And he's sitting there thinking, Joshua will never find out. God don't know. Now God's got a plan, a detecting power, and he's going to show them what's going on. So in verse 16, so Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. There's 12 tribes. God lays his hand on one of the tribes. It's the tribe of Judah. I mean, there's a process going on here. And you know why? He could have pointed them out to start with, but he's got a process of putting his hand on it, little by little whittling this thing down, and I think he's given Achan an opportunity to repent. But Achan's not going to use that opportunity to repent. He's going to use that opportunity to hide and squat down even further away. The Bible says in verse 17, and he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarahites. That's Zerah's, their father. He said, take Zerah's family. And he brought the family of the Zarahites by man, and Zabdi was taken. He said, I want you to separate the rest of the family. I want Zabdi, is what the Lord said. Now they're casting lots or whatever the Lord's revealing, and the Lord does that today by his Spirit. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, and of the tribe of Judah was taken. In other words, little by little, God separates. And he lays his hand and says, right there he is. He's the one. And I want you to know, friend, that he gave him every opportunity to get right, but he wouldn't. I'm sure Achan thought, this ain't going to work. The tribe of Judah, it's a lucky guess. This is not going to happen. I'll just wait. Nobody will find out. I want the tribe of the family of Zerah. I want Zabdi. I want Carmi's son, Achan. And out he steps, guilty before God. Can I say this to you, friend? Numbers chapter 32, verse 23 says, you can be sure your sin will find you out. You may say, nobody knows. I'm going to admit, the preacher don't know. I have no idea what God wants me to preach this message after such a wonderful singing service. But God does. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. And tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. I'll tell you something. God has a detection process and a detection power. And he knows where there's sin in your life. He knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. He knows your motivation. In verse 20 through 23, we begin the perishing discussion. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment. There's his mistake. He saw the spoils of war. He thought they belonged to him. But God said, destroy those things that were offered to pagans. You don't need them. But Achan couldn't stand it. He had to take what did not belong to him. He wanted God's gifts. He wanted God's glory. He disobeyed God's command directly and took a Babylonish garment. God says, you don't need to have that garment in your wardrobe. But he took it anyway. And 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. God said the silver and gold belonged to him. Achan thought, God will never miss it. Joshua will never find out. The people will never know. Let me tell you something, in the end, it'll all be revealed. He said, I saw these things, and then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. He just goes ahead and confesses. He said, I saw, I coveted, I took, I hid them. Verse 22, Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent. Behold, it was hid in his tent and the silver under it, and they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. Joshua sent messengers back to Achan's tent. They went through the tent, found it. Yes, there's the garment. There's the gold. Under the tent, there's the silver. Just like Achan said, there it all is. They brought it back to the camp, laid it out before God, said, God, here's all these things. Number 6, verses 24 through 26, we see the punishment of death. Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his sheep and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had. They brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. They took the whole family down to the valley. The Valley of Achor means the Valley of Trouble. And they stoned not just Achan, but all his boys and all his girls and all his sheep and all his asses and all of his oxen and everything that he had. They stoned them and burnt them and stacked rubble stones on top of them. And there they left them. Wait a minute, preacher. I really don't like that too good. God says the wages of sin is death. Preacher, I don't know. Wait a minute. Can you hear as they drag Achan off and all his family say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I confessed. I gave you everything. I told the truth. Did you really tell the truth? You see, Achan confessed because he was caught. And he knew he could no longer be hidden. He had from the time he said, tomorrow morning, we're going to show who the sinner is. He could run and said, it's me. It's me. I need to get right with God. And he hit an old-fashioned altar. But he stayed there all night. He's probably up all night. They'll never find out. They'll never know. God won't show this to Joshua. We were defeated down there, but surely that's not my fault. God said, separate me the tribe of Judah. Oh, that's my family, but that's just a lucky guess. That's got to be what it is. I mean, really, I want the family of Zerah. Well, that's my great-grandpappy's family, but surely the goodness. I want Zabdi. That's my grandpa. Oh, it could be. Maybe they'll get one of my cousins. He was willing that his family might be detected so he could stay hidden. Said, I want the family of Carmi. Oh, that's my daddy. But we got a lot of brothers and sisters. Let one of them suffer in my place. He never would run to the altar. Just like a good Baptist, he never would make a move and say, oh God, you got me. Instead, Joshua said, God said, it's Achan. Step out. Achan stepped out and he said, indeed, I have sinned before the Lord. And thus have I done. Now the Bible says, preacher, that if we would confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. So I confessed. But that verse denotes that there should be some repentance, some remorse in your heart, a sorrow over your sin, a brokenness over what you've done. I think of Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 9, verse 27. He said to Moses, "I've sinned." It was a confession, but no repentance. He continued to pursue the people of God to try to kill them. I think about Saul, who said in 1 Samuel 15:24 to David, "I have sinned," and picked up a javelin and threw it at David and tried to kill him. You see, if he really was honest about his confession, if there'd been repentance, he wouldn't have thrown that javelin at David. It'd have been over right there. Hey, what about Judas, who said in Matthew 27, verse 4, "I have sinned"? The Bible says the devil entered in unto Judas and led him to do it, and he betrayed the Lord. And you may say, well, when Judas said, "I have sinned and betrayed the innocent blood," that means he got right with God. Oh, no. He confessed because he knew he could not be hidden anymore. But he never would repent before God. Oh, preacher, I beg to differ. When we get to heaven, I'll show you. Listen, friend, Judas is not there. Jesus said to the Father, "Of all them that thou hast given me, have I lost none, save the son of perdition." Hey, man, let me tell you something. Achan's confession was not repentant. And therefore, because he remained in sin with a hard heart about what he'd done, they drug him and his family, everybody and everything that was associated with Achan were drug off and stoned to death and burnt with fire. Can you imagine at the judgment one day, when God says, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity." And they say, "But Lord, you're Lord of lords and you're King of kings. I'll confess that now." Too late. You've been caught and it's too late. God gave you in this lifetime an opportunity to be saved. But you've kind of got a little worldly in your thinking. You got a little selfish in the way you view things. And all of a sudden you find yourself living a defeated life. Not only are you defeated, but you're distanced from the Lord. You don't feel what you used to feel. You sat and you said, "Lord, I've prayed about this. Lord, why don't you bless me anymore?" It ain't his fault. It's not his fault. It's ours.